Are we on?
That's right.
Mike just hit record and I just stood up and walked away.
I was like, okay, cool, Paddy that.
Strong start. Yeah.
Welcome, Mick.
Thanks.
We've got Mick here.
The long version is Michaela McDonald, but we'll just call Mick.
Mm.
Welcome back, guys.
Hi.
How are you, Paddy?
I'm great. How are you?
Train harder, bro.
Yeah, actually, we just had this conversation off air with Mick, who's a coach. And if you feel great, just train harder.
Yeah.
It's definitely not my advice, though. Yeah.
Is it not?
No. Oh,
that's what she just said.
No.
Okay, so Mengels, can you introduce Mick? Why is she here? Why is she on?
Mick is here because I've been training you in leading up to the Coast to Cozzy Ultra Marathon, which is like this fuck-off long race that starts at the ocean and you run to the highest mountain in Australia.
Mm.
Not in perspective to other mountains, it's not that high.
Mm.
But it's the highest point in mainland Australia, and it's 250...
Yeah, it's like 246.
246 kilometres of running through the Australian beautiful alpine region. And I've been training Mick for a while leading up to that, and we're chatting, and I was like, you need to come on and just talk to us about your experience, how that was, how did you get into running, all that shit, because you used to be a lawyer.
Yeah, I had a background in property law, and then I feel like most people with like A-type personalities end up gravitating towards those kinds of sports. Like there's a lot of ultra runners who are actually, I don't include myself in this, but are like very smart people, like engineers, lawyers, doctors, those kinds of
things.
Physios and stuff. Physios, yeah geniuses. Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, I think that's how that ends up, you know, gravitating towards that. And then as I went more into the sport, got out of that more because it's not a long term.
More running.
Yeah.
No lawyering at all.
More so just enjoying your life and not being chained to a desk for, you know, 14 hours a day.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. It's not good for your mental health or your physical health.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why do people do it?
Yeah. Money.
Money.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people who are genuinely passionate about it, I guess.
Really?
I mean, I love the theoretical side of things, but in practice it's rough.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, there's a reason why it's got like the highest suicide rate out of any profession in the world.
Yeah, fair.
You know, it's not for everyone.
Clearly.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
Enough of that.
So if you don't do law for money, what do you do for money?
Me? Yeah. Or people in general?
No, sorry.
No, you.
I was like, I don't know. That's like, quite theoretical.
Michaela, tell us about the world.
It's quite philosophical of you. So I do a couple of little things. So I work with the guys at Pace Athletic, which are running shops in Sydney. They're specialist running shops. So, yeah, I do like our business development stuff, which is good fun. I've known Stu and Will, who own Pace, for years. Nice. And then Tim and I have our own – Tim's my partner. We've got our own coaching business as well. So
what's that called?
The Distance Collective.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim is – amazing. And I learn heaps from him in terms of that space. And just help him with that kind of stuff as well as coaching, you know, my own people as well. So yes, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, did Tim start the Distance Collective himself, or did you two start it together?
Started together, but I know. I'm in big troubles if that ever breaks up.
Yeah,
won't happen, don't worry. 7 years gone strong. But he he was with someone else and then kind of like decided to do his own thing, and yeah, it's been really positive for him.
So Turbo, who we've had on here a couple of times, runs with the Distance Collective, and Tim coaches
very loosely. Yeah.
Coaching, is that the right word for it?
Everything he does is loose.
It's a lot of bouncing back and forth.
Okay, Tim writes Turbo a program.
Yeah.
Turbo looks at the program, does something else.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And that is coaching in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So you've always run, Mick. When did you start?
Ran at school, but was like very, you know, like everyone who runs at school. Like you don't, I mean, I feel like now it's different with coaching programs and stuff. But when we were younger, it was like you run, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning with school, and we'll go and do a run around the quarry at school, and that was kind of our run coaching. Like there was no real structure. It's way different now, obviously, but I did that growing up, and like was pretty average. But enjoyed it, was always like super sporty. And then got older, went to uni, like became pretty pretty useless. Yeah. A lot of beers.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. And you know, like exercise definitely falls by the wayside.
Yeah.
And so I'd run every now and then to be like, I used to do this. I can still do this, but it's like so bad. And then met Tim. Tim was training for, like, it was in the North Face 50 at the time. And I was like, who does? And Tim was actually scared to tell me because he was like, she's gonna think I'm so weird. Like, and on our first date, he came back from a ride to Wollongong and back, and I just remember thinking like, this is weird.
A bit weird.
But, you know, whatever you're into. And we went for, like, our first run together, and I, like, suffered badly, fell over, like, ripped my pants that I had on. And Tim was like, she's never going to run again. And then we just made this goal of running the city to surf. And I remember thinking, like, 14Ks. Like, I used to do cross-country at school and would just redline it and vomit at the finish every time. So I never thought anyone went, like, beyond 5K.
Yeah.
How much further can you possibly go? So we did City to Surf, and then I still remember, like, coming into Rose Bay and seeing, like, the sign that says 4K or whatever it says. And I remember thinking, oh, I said to Tim, like, 4K to go, like, unreal. And Tim was like, I don't know. It's, like, 10 to go. And I just remember thinking, like, never again. This is outrageous. And then, yeah, like 2 weeks later or something, it was still the North Face 50 at this time. It was like murmurings online. I was like, yeah, I reckon I could do a 50K. Like, done 14.
2 weeks after a 14.
No, like I thought about signing up for it. And Tim was like, yeah, throw your name in, you know, we'll train. It'll be great. And then kind of like progressed from there, and it just became like a pretty slippery slope, as most ultra runners end up finding. I remember thinking, like, doing City to Surf and just being stoked that I ran every step of it. Like, and passing people on Heartbreak Hill who were walking and, like, you know, good on you. That's unreal that you're doing that. But I remember thinking, like, I'm peak fitness. Yeah. Like, I'm running up this hill. I, like, least in the top 10. Would have been, like, top 10,000. But, yeah, like, one of those moments that kind of, like, a light bulb went off. And I was like, like, really quite enjoy this, despite how I looked. But, yeah, it was kind of a slippery slope from there.
It's kind of funny how a lot of runners, people who do their first marathon, it's like one or the other. It's like, that was terrible. I'm retiring. Never again. I'm going to pick up smoking.
Yeah.
Or it's like...
New habit. Yeah.
Something else to do with my time. Or you're like, I love that shit. What just happened to me? I want more of it. Let's go.
Yeah.
And that clearly happened to you.
And that, how long ago was that now?
That would have been like 2014, 15, 14, yeah.
Six, 7 years ago.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever. Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know.
So feels like how do you go in a nutshell from 14K to 250K?
Yeah. Yeah. I ran 50K and I was like, that wasn't that bad. Which, again, like you have that response of like, that sucked or I really enjoyed it. And like the first 50K I did was the North Face. I was in like wave five or something, had no pressure, but just had the best day. Ended up like running a time that I didn't think I'd run, like and was just kind of came out of it and finished it and was like, oh, that was pretty good. And like my best mate Jess is an like amazing runner. She came second at North Face that year. And so I've always been surrounded by these people who are just like keep dragging kind of more out of you, which is good, but it, in a way, I mean, it's kind of like that perpetual cycle with people because they see like, oh, such and such is doing this and such is doing that. But in a way, it was kind of good because Tim then went and did, well, he did North Face 100 that year and he finished. And I remember thinking like, maybe I could do that. And so the next year he went and did Tarawera and I crewed him at Tarawera and I was like, I think I'll come and do Tarawera. So I went and did that, did 100K. I think I did a couple of like littler runs in between, but did 100 and was like, it was hard, but I kind of want to do more. So then.
What year was that?
2017.
That was the year I did it.
What was that? And it rained?
No.
Not super heavy then.
No.
Maybe it was 2016 I did it then.
It must have been 2016.
Did you get really good weather?
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, that was the year Tim did it. Yeah. And I was like, this is beautiful. Yeah, yeah. And then I did it and it pissed down with the rain. It was muddy and it was miserable.
Oh, that was 2018.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, I feel like I did it before that though. Maybe. Okay. Anyway. But.
Anyway, I digress. Sorry.
But, so I did that. And then in the last 10K, you know how whenever you finish a race, you feel like you're absolutely flying. You're like, It's best I've run all day. I look great. And you look trash and you're running slow. But I remember finishing and just being like, that was really hard, but I really enjoyed it. I want to do something else. And at the time, Tim had signed up to do GNW 100 Mile. And we spent heaps of time on that course and just loved it. Like, it's just, I mean, yeah, if you've been out there, it's like there's no course markings. It's rugged. It's not 100 miles. It's 110 miles or whatever. And it's hard. Like, it's proper hard bush running. And anyway, so, like, I crewed Tim through that, and then I was like, I'm going to do it the next year. So did it the following year, and probably had, like, close to a perfect day, like, which doesn't happen very often, you know, like, had a few little, as you do, like, down moments, but nothing that really, like, pulled me apart. Like, I didn't, I didn't get that, like, I don't know, you know, like,
death.
Like, held it together pretty well, and just loved it, like, and really thought I'd found my niche with that long, long stuff, had, like, and went into that race completely with no expectation. Was like, I'll go in, see what happens. There were women in that field and men in that field who were way more experienced than I were, and I definitely, like, was the biggest rookie in that field. But just had a really good day. Like,
you didn't want to say it, did you?
Had a really good day. Like,
so, well, because Tim won.
Was it your first 100 mile?
Yeah.
So you won your first 100 mile, basically what you're saying.
Well, Tim won the year before, so I was like, well.
No pressure, but.
But you get this amazing trophy when you win. It's like a course marking, like the GNW, like, post.
The pole,
So Tim had one, then I got one, and then Tim won the 100K the next year, and so he's got this. So we could mark the GNW. Like, it's really good. But they, yeah, so I just love that race. It's a real shame that it's reverted to this,
I know,
like.
I hate that.
It's just. A shit course.
It used to be
point. I feel really bad saying that, but it's such a shit course.
It used to be point to point and would follow the actual Great North
Fork.
What, how have they changed it?
So now it's like a loops out and back. So you start and finish in the same spot, which is it's sad because it used to be like you're following the path and
you're getting from A to B.
It's like now it's going from point A to point A.
And you're just doing, like, loops and loops and loops. And the trail, the beauty with GNW is you get, and I mean, I guess this is where Coast to Cozy is kind of similar, but the beauty with GNW is you get, like, a proper Australian bush, and then there's, like, rainforesty kind of trails, and then there's road, and then there's, like.
It's a bit of everything.
Yeah.
It's a nice mixture.
This is just, it's no good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe they'll get it back, but,
I'll still go back. I'll still do it again.
You have to do it again.
I've got unfinished business there.
But I almost died there.
Did you?
Yeah.
No. With Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the year I did it.
Oh, really?
And Steve has, like, huge regrets over how he his finish line photo.
I probably.
It's really awkward. We need to find it. It's very funny.
See if we can post it.
Every time I see Steve, I'm like.
Was that the kissing the ball photo?
Yeah, and he's like on all fours. It's super.
I've seen that. Yeah,
I watched you guys finish, and because I came out and I was, you know, you're just like mega emotional, like And so I saw you guys come on the beach, and I was like, "This is great." I was crying, and then Steve did that, and I was like, "Whoa!"
Now I feel awkward.
So it's actually the the most beautiful finish line, right? Because you run maybe 200 meters along the beach, and you can see the finish line ahead of you, and the finish line is just a little post. And, like, all you do is you just touch it. But the thing is you kiss the post.
Yeah.
And he, like, crawled up to it, hands and knees, and, like, fell on it.
And then you were kind of just, like, standing there beside it, like, with Steve. But, yeah, it is a good finish line. And, it doesn't have that finish line anymore, so it's kind of a shame. But that whole point-to-point thing is pretty hard to come by in Australia. Like, there's not a lot of point-to-point. And, I mean, I personally really like looking at a route and being like, oh, that's cool that you've pretty much gone from Newcastle to Patonga.
Yeah.
Like, even coming onto Patonga Beach, that's like, what, 100 and – I mean, you're pretty much 170Ks through there. And this guy comes up behind us and he's behind Tim and I, and Tim paced me the whole back 70Ks. So Tim was pretty cooked too, but I said to the guy – I said to Tim, oh, can you ask that guy if he wants to go around me? Like, I'm fully aware of how shit I am right now. And Tim's like, no, he's fine. I was like, okay, cool. So we keep running. And he's like, oh, you guys just out for your morning run? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, where have you come from? And Tim's like, she's run from Newcastle. And he's like, excuse me?
This is my morning run, which started yesterday.
Yeah. We've actually been out here since yesterday morning. And he was like, oh, wow. And so all my finish line photos have got this guy in the background of him just like smiling and looking at everyone, just being amazed. And I always think about that guy probably thinking,
what is going on?
That's weird. Yeah.
He's pumped. He's just done 7 kilometres.
Yeah.
Must be a different Newcastle around here.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I met this girl. She ran from Newcastle. Everyone would be like, yeah, sure. Sure. So after that race, I made friends with a bunch of people who were doing Coast Cozzy. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not ready to do it this year because it was just too soon. I didn't feel like I was prepared to do it. But I was like, I'll do it the following year, which was would have been 2018. And so I put my name in. You had to run a qualifying 100K. So I went and ran this 100K down in Melbourne, which was fine, but like purely just to tick a box.
Yeah.
And so submitted those and then, you know, got the entry. I probably was the fittest I've ever been training for that 2018 Coast to Cozzy. Like, I was pretty confident of what I'd be able to do. And then, like, 2 weeks out, they were like, it's not happening. Yeah. And so I'd, like, had all my eggs in this basket, and it was huge. Like, I was running, like, you know, we'd gone down on the course. Like, I was running, like, 100-mile week. Like, it was just, like, a lot of effort. Mm. And it completely, obviously, like, flipped. And at that time, I, you know, like, I'd had, like, a huge training week. I think we'd done, like, 90 Ks across a weekend down there. And I was just, like, ready to taper and ready to race. Mm. And then obviously got cancelled. And I kind of thought, oh, it's kind of a shame. Like, that's probably never going to come back, that race. Because, I mean, we know, like, part of the reason why the GMW doesn't happen anymore is because of the council.
Mm.
And I thought, well, like, if it doesn't happen now, like, Coast Cozzy's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And, like, some of the stuff they were asking the race organisers to do, like, you need to have a marshal at every single road crossing and stuff like that, and just stuff they couldn't implement that quick.
It just wouldn't happen. Yeah,
yeah, and it's, like, it's a 246K race on road. Like, it's not going to happen. Yeah, so anyway, I kind of, like, focused and was like, well, I'm super fit. What should I do? So I signed up for 6-foot track. And just, like, was like, I'll run a marathon next year. Like, I can't do any long stuff. I'm completely fucked and I'm done with doing long stuff. So did 6-foot, had a pretty good run there.
Did you win?
No, fuck, I wish, no. It's, like, an ultimate dream, like, not to win because I'll never win that race, not fast enough. But, like, podium, we'd love that. Like, I came 6, which, like, for me was pretty good. Like, I was pretty happy with that. Considering, like, how class that field is every year.
Get some real fast
people. Yeah.
And just,
like, it's a really fast race as well.
Yeah, and just, like, I've never gotten so much out of myself. Like,
yeah.
I finished and was just, like, fainted, was done. Yeah, and, like, you sit at that finish line and you look around and everyone is like that. Yeah. Like, there's no one, like, ooh-hoo, like, feeling good. So, yeah, like, I still remember this, like, vivid memory of, like, Gary Mullins being, like, wheeled away almost in this, like, straitjacket-looking thing. And I was like, that's it. That's the race.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember feeling pretty cooked. And then did Speed Project like a month later, which was good fun. Focused on a marathon. A marathon just about broke me. Like, I got so sick.
Really?
Yeah, just, you know, shifting to like intensity, obviously, and just my body just, I just did too much. Like, straight up did too much. Like, set my expectations and then just, yeah, cooked myself. So I ended up cooking myself for a solid like 12 months probably.
Hectic.
And then I meant to do Tararua this year. Got 60Ks through and ended up with hypernatremia.
Really?
Which, was a real treat.
If you listened to our last few episodes on hydration, not good.
Not good.
Not enough salt.
No. And like.
So what were your symptoms? What happened?
Yeah, it was bad. So 30Ks, I was like, oh, today's the day. Like, you're going to have a, you know, when you just feel it.
Feeling good.
You're like, whew. And I was running and I was like, we're running up hills, we're talking, and I would have been in like 5th or 6th at this point. And I was chatting with one of the girls and I was like, oh, feeling pretty good. And then we got to like 40K and I realized that I was probably like sweating way more than I thought I should have been. Anyway, so I was drinking and then I realized, I was like, oh, I haven't gone to the bathroom. Like, that's kind of strange. Like, I've been running for, I don't know, like 4 hours at that point or something. I was like, okay. And then I just had this like weird feeling where my vision started going a little bit blurry, and I was like, maybe I'm hungry. Like maybe I need to eat more. Mm. Kind of felt like I was going to bonk anyway. So then I ate more, but as I was eating more, I was like drinking more to try and digest it.
Yeah.
And just made like the super rookie error of being like, I don't need additional salt. I'll get enough in what I've got. Like I don't need any more. And then so got to like 50K, and actually one of the medics that I was like going backwards at this point.
Yeah.
I'd fallen over, and like Ollie Wilson was with me at that point, and I'd fallen over and like whacked my face. Oh, so this like massive cut on my face, and he was a bit like, oh, something's not right with you. And then came in, and the medic actually like grabbed me and was like, what's going on? I was like, what do you mean? Yeah. And she was like, you don't look right. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, I don't think you should keep going. And I was like, I've got this like really, like I feel like I really, really need to pee, but I can't.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I've drunk heaps of water because I'm trying to make myself go to the bathroom, but I can't. And she was like, I think you've got hyponatremia. And I was like, no, I won't have that. Like, you know, you hear about it and you're like, it's so dangerous. There's no way I've done that to myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was at that point that Lucy Bartholomew and Hanny Alston came in behind me, and I was like, oh, sick, I'm just going to jump in with these two.
You.
Yeah, and I was like, we'll just run together, because they were both like in a pretty bad way as well.
Yeah.
So the three of us were running, and it would have been the most abysmal thing to see. Like, Hanny was like running a couple steps, and she's like, oh, I can't run, I'm so sorry. And I was like, no, this is good, I need to walk. And Lucy was like, oh, I'm fucked too, I can't do it. Like, and the three of us were just like in such a bad way. Anyway, they kind of got a bit of a roll on, and I was just like taking a couple of steps and then just like doubled over in pain. Like, my stomach was so sore. I was like, I just don't know what's going on here. And then there was like this Spanish, he was like a sponsored hocker athlete, but he was this Spanish guy who's probably used to running up mountains. So he was quite a way back. Anyway, he passed me and he like grabbed me and he's like, you will be better for this. And I was like, thanks, but I don't really need this right now.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And like you could tell, like, English, obviously not his first language, but you could tell when he looked at me, he was like, you're going to get better. And I was like, I'm not, but
cool.
Thanks. But yeah, the medic said to me at the 50K, she's like, because the only way out of there, it's at Humphreys Bay. So the only way to get out of there is by a boat. And I was like, I'm not calling in a boat. Like, I look like a dickhead. Like, unless I had like a solid, like, unless I was really cooked, I was not getting a boat.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, I can walk 10K. Worst decision I made, because that 10K was like 2 hours.
Oh, shit.
And so I was like trying to run, and then was like, no, something's like proper wrong here. Anyway, the doctor from that aid station walked out to meet me because he was like, we're really worried about you. And he was like holding me so tight. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Anyway, you walk into Okataina, and it's like the first time you can see crew. And so there's stacks of people here, and everyone sees you come out, and they're like, yay!
Yeah.
And then I realized they were like, yeah, and kind of looked at me, and I was like,
uh-oh,
do I look real bad? Anyway, so they take me into the medical tent. This doctor was amazing. He was like grabbing me and stuff and doing all sorts of things. And he's like, yeah, 100% you've got hyponatremia. You're going to have to stay here until we sort you out.
Mm.
So they were amazing. Like, the doctors and the nurses at that race were so good. Like, laid me down, just gave me a ton of salt, like, just kept checking everything, making sure I was, like, still with it, because they said when I came in I was just, like, gibberish, like, wasn't making sense, was, like, stumbling, like, pretty much symptoms of when you're drunk. Like, he's, like...
Like Michaela at uni.
Yeah. It was really strange. So all these people kept coming in with, like, the same thing, and the doctor was like, I don't understand how, like, normally you see a bit of it, but not this much. And I was talking to the nurse, and she was like, oh, it's kind of interesting, like, we've had a lot of people with kidney infections, which are like kind of that starting, and people are getting that pain thinking they need to drink, and then it's kind of like cause and effect, I guess. So he was like, as soon as you can go to the bathroom now, I'll let you go, because he was like, I was just came to kind of thing all of a sudden. And so I went to the bathroom, and I was like, cool, I'm going to go. And he's like, home, you're going home. Oh. And I was like, I'll just walk it in. It's like, I was like, it's 40K, I'll get a run jog. And he was like, absolutely not. He was like, you could kill yourself by doing that. I'm like, okay. So, like, got a lift out, and I knew Tim would be finishing around that time. And I was like, oh. And he's like, do you have a phone? I was like, no, like I expect it to be done by now. Like, and he was like, okay. So they drove me to the finish line. I just saw Tim and I just had like, just looked at him and was like, whoa, started crying. And he was like, what's going on? But like he was peeing blood. Like there was all sorts of weird medical things going on at that race. I don't know. Anyway, so that was like, that was one of those moments where it hit me, like it really shattered my confidence. And I was like, oh, maybe I just can't do this anymore. Anyway, so I looked into it a bit because I just thought like, how on earth did this happen? Like you hear about it so much and how did I let it happen? And like, I only did what I did in training. So it's not like, it's not like I did anything different. And then so I started doing a ton of research and found that like women are especially susceptible to hypernatremia.
Yeah.
And then like, obviously depending on where you are in your cycle and things like that. And all this stuff was marrying up and I was like, oh, it's a physiological thing. Like, it's not like you went out there and went, I'm going to do something drastically different when really I should have done something drastically different that suited where I was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, shit lesson to learn at the time, but like really quite important for me going forward.
Were you drinking salt on the day or just water?
No, just water.
Okay.
Which has definitely changed since then.
Yeah. Good.
But I used to only always drink water, which is why I was kind of like, well, I'm just going to do what I always do because I hate the taste of, which is like the dumbest thing ever, but I should just have salt tablets. But anyway.
Yeah.
And then so the same thing happened like a month later. I tried to do Hoka put on this like isolation festival thing.
Yeah.
So I did the like 5:10 half on the Saturday and then set out for the 60 on the Sunday and got like 30 Ks through and started getting the same thing again. I was like, what the fuck's going on? And this was, to be fair, this was like a month after Tarawera and I was just trying to find some kind of like hope out there. I don't know what was wrong with
kind
me.
Kind of let me do something.
Right? Yeah. And so like my hand started swelling again and I was like, yeah, okay, there's something going on here. So yeah, made like more of a look into it and I was like, okay, I need to be way smarter with what I'm doing. So kind of just wrote off the long stuff. I was like, I'm not doing it anymore. Like I need to get my shit sorted. I need to stop doing what I'm doing and figure it out. Lo and behold, Coast to Cozzy's like, we're coming back. And I was like, oh shit.
Oh, here we go.
And I'm getting messages from people like, it's coming back. Like, you're going to do it? And I was kind of like, oh, it's been this like chip on my shoulder for years. Like I can't have to do it. Anyway, they released all the entry criteria and they're like, you had to have run 100K since. So if you were someone who was meant to do it in 2018, you got preference, but you had to have run 100K since then. And I was like, well, I just bloody DNF'd one. Like I have to go and run 100K. And so me and two other mates who were also meant to do it in 2018, we were kind of like joking between the three of us. We were like, oh, we should just go run 100K. And then I was like, oh, I think I'm going to. Like, I think I'm just going to go run one. And so the two of them were like, okay, like, let's do it. It gives us the best shot of doing it.
Yeah.
So we ran 100K, like, on 2 weeks' notice, which was great because it totally reframed, like, how stressful those situations are sometimes. Yeah. Like, at Tarawera, I was so, like I just been just started being sponsored by Hoka, which was like stressful in itself because I was like, fuck, there's like this expectation now, which totally isn't the case. Like Roger, who I deal with, there's like, I couldn't care if you came dead last. Like, so that's my own expectation. But so there was that. And then, you know, there's always the thing about racing and doing your best and this and then just to go out and do like 100K with two other mates and like
no pressure.
There was nothing.
Yeah, you just and have like, to get there.
Yeah. And the route we did was like this cool route that my buddy had always wanted to do, which like links the Oaks Trail with like some of the trails up at the Upper Blue Mountains and it was awesome. Like I finished and like we stuck together the whole way, the three of us drank so much electrolyte. Like every time I saw Tim was like salt tablets, like throwing them at me. I was like, I think I've had enough, like can't have any more. So yeah, we submitted that and then like got the they did like a live thing about who got in for Coast to Cozzy. And I read my name out and I was on the bike trainer and Tim, because I couldn't watch it, I was like, what if I don't get in? Oh my God, what if I don't get in? And so Tim was watching it and he's like, you're in, you're in. But then my two mates who I did the 100K with didn't get in. Oh, so, I don't know. Like, the race directors are lovely and I really have a lot of time for them, really good people. Yeah. But it was really, it was like a bit of a hard scenario because they announced the field and the field was like stacked, like probably one of the best fields that's ever assembled in that kind of distance.
Because this was like timing wise mid COVID, right?
Yeah, which was the even weirder part, because everyone was like, how is this coming back, and how is it coming back when COVID's a thing?
Yeah, and so there were no races for the last 4, 5, 6 months. So everybody that was super fit, loves long distance, was like, here's my one race.
And, like, the people that applied were like, I said to Tim, Tim was reading them out, and I was like, what? What? Like, people that I just did not expect to show up on that start line. And, I mean, I think it's good, like, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, so it was good. So it was like everyone got the best result because everyone was running at such a high level. Yeah. But it also meant that those people that probably have the heart of the race, like the front of mind, don't get in.
Yeah.
And like Tim Linden, who was one of my friends that I did it with, he's done it before and like he was so eager to do it. And he was the one who actually did like that huge training weekend down with me back in 2018. And then Dan Bleekman was the other buddy I did it with who used to do Ultra 168. So like, you know, gave a lot to the sport.
Yeah.
And like people who really, really loved it and really, really wanted to be there.
But the less, like less elite runners, like less fast people,
Yeah, and like it's not to say like Dan, like both of them, like Tim's run like 32 hours or something, which is still super quick.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And Dan's probably in that same, like we all ran together when we did that 100K. Like Dan hadn't run further than 25Ks in, I think it was like 18 months when we did that 100K. And we did it in like 11 and a half hours or something. So it's not like, you know, like they're not slouches, you know? Runners, like,
They're not,
but it's not elite,
quote unquote.
And to be fair, like that race has probably like had a handful of elites ever do it, let alone all these people who all of a sudden were like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so when that popped up, I was like, holy shit, like I've only got – when did the announcement – announcement came out like 10 weeks before the race.
Something like that.
Yeah, so it wasn't long.
We talked about it during a session and you were like, fine, I'm in.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't get my shit together.
And I ended up with like a neural calf strain like midway through that training block and just like hammered myself on the bike for a week. I was like, I'm going to get fit hell or high water here. And then, yeah, so I mean, you're always going to run into that stuff, right? Like, but I would have liked to have a little bit more time. But I mean, like everyone, I mean, Melbourne was locked down for the whole period.
Yeah.
So the fact that people from Melbourne came up and were able to race off an hour of training a day, like, mind-blowing.
5K around your house.
Seriously, like, I don't know how people did it. And, like, I fully, like, was like, eh, long runs. Who needs them? Like, I did, like, one – no, I think I did 2 40K long runs. And that was the hardest thing watching.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm just not a big believer in just, like – I feel like it takes too much out of you. And it was super –
So training for a 250K race, you didn't do anything longer than 40?
No.
Wow.
Consistency.
You did some back-to-back long stuff, though.
Yeah, but not stupid long.
No, but
the weekend we did UTMR, when it was like a bajillion degrees, I did UTMR, like very elite course, obviously. You know.
Very elite course.
Very elite. Mm. Good race director.
Do you know who won?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it. So we did the 6-foot track on the Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We've one of Tim's clients who did the 12-foot track and then did, like, UTMR the next day. So it was, like, 45K and then...
So hilly 45K into a hilly 21
or whatever it is. Yeah. It's pretty decent vert on the UTMR course. So it was, like, 500 metres or something in that. And so that was, like, a good weekend. And then, like, I did a couple of those. So, yeah, I just find for me I'm just too banged up. Like, I've done the, like... I mean, yeah, I'd rather do like a 40 and a 30 or like a 50 and a 30 or something.
Big week rather than a big run.
Yeah, and like run every day. Mm. I just find if I have to do, say I do, I've never done, I don't think I've done anything longer than maybe like 55K in training.
Right.
Just, yeah.
That's so interesting. I guess you can't do 100K runs every week. You just.
Well, it's interesting because like, and it's the best and worst thing about Strava is that you see what everyone else is doing. Mm. And I got to one point where Tim and I went down to the Snowies for a training weekend and I was just like just having a shocker of a weekend. Like just like I get pretty bad anxiety and depression and stuff. So it was just having like one of those weekends where I was in a bit of a funk and things just weren't really clicking for me. I said to Tim, I was like, well, instead of belting myself, like I'm just going to go and do something fun. So like Tim and I went and did the main range and like completely non-specific, but it was the best thing for me at the time.
Yeah.
But that day we'd driven out to part of the course, which was past El Getty, and I saw Lou Clifton running on the road, and I was like, oh, there's Lou. And then like 3 hours later, we were driving up to Charlotte's Pass, and there was this person running on the side of the road, and like I laughed at him. I was like, I bet that's Lou. And I look and I was like, that's Lou. And then it was the worst weekend for me to see someone like Lou doing that, because in my head I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna get taken to the absolute cleaners, like and she'd done like a 70k training run that day, and I'd done like a 20k training run, and I was like, all right, this is really going to be a test of the two strategies here. But like she was doing like huge training runs, and like Steve Redfern, same thing, like massive training runs, like 100k training runs. And I just said to Tim, like, I'm just going to have to rest on the fact that I know I can get to a pretty
deep
place. Yeah.
You grind. Yeah.
And there's only so much running you can do. Like there's really no amount of running you can do that can prepare you for running that far. Like you're better being fresh than being cooked and being like, oh, but that one time I did a 70K run.
So you're running every day?
Yeah. I had a rest day. I'd have a rest day on a Monday pretty religiously, but like was pretty consistent.
It's interesting because a lot of people just physically wouldn't have the time to run every day.
No.
I know what I did for UTMB was every Sunday I'd do a long run, which, you know, peaked between 50, 60, 70 kilometre long run. And then the next day, the Monday, I'd always go and do like a 20 to 30K run the next day.
Shit.
So, but I felt great doing it. But then I knew I would do that because work was so busy Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Often I wouldn't. Yeah. I might do one run Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I'd kind of belt myself Sunday, Monday, knowing I was kind of having like two rest days.
Yeah, okay.
And then Friday I'd go again, then launch into the next weekend. So I was having big weeks.
Yeah, you would have like 2-3 days of big running, and then you would have 3 days of really low.
Like might get up and do a 15K in the morning if I had the time and the energy, but minimal. Yeah, it's just like two different approaches.
Yeah.
The long run.
Yeah.
And that I think really helped my head. I was like, I know I can run for 8 hours because I've done it most weeks.
Well, I think it's also knowing what works for your body, because if you do that, you're going to be broken.
Yeah.
And you know that works for you. And like mentally, that fits into your life.
Yeah.
And it's interesting with mileage too. Like you look at what the guys like. You say you look at, I mean, any ultra runner in the States, right? So like, they're doing a 200K week, and you're like, how? Like, and then you go, oh, hang on, that's all they're doing.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, you know, like you said, like you're not on your feet all day. You've got life stress. Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, I know that, I mean, the hardest thing for me was that Tim wasn't really running at the time. And I just know that, and it's so sappy, but I know if I have to go do like a 5 or 6 hour run, I'm like, kind of want to hang out with Tim. Yeah. Like, I don't really want to go for run 5 or 6 hours by myself. But in saying that, like, I definitely lacked confidence with those long runs. But I got to, like, I don't know, I got to 50K at Costa Cozzi, and I was like, well, like, nothing's just helping me.
5 more times.
Yeah, no, nothing's going to help me beyond this anyway. So, it's interesting. But
so how deep into a hole did you get during that race, like mentally?
It was interesting. Like, it was like a real tale of two halves. So it was super hot. Like, I don't know, cars were recording like 40 degrees. And the problem is it's so exposed.
Yeah.
So, like, there's bushfires obviously tore through there this time last year, all through Eden at the start. So you've got like 30K on Fire Trail, which is just epic. Like, some of the best running I've done. I loved it. But I really love Fire Trail. So I was like, this is me in a nutshell. But it was beautiful, but super humid.
Yeah.
And I was actually shocked at how many people were like running up pretty decent hills, like super early on. I was like, I'm either approaching this all wrong or like I'll see them later.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, just kind of to settle into my own thing. And like, I got to 30Ks and I said to Tim, if I get there under 3 hours, I'm running too fast.
Yeah.
And so, cause I mean, the course record is 6 minute Ks. Like, obviously he's not running 6 minute Ks for the whole thing, but I'm like, that's the male course record. Yeah, like, I need to extrapolate that out a bit. So I got to 30 Ks and there would have been, I don't know, I would have been in like 30th at that point.
Yeah.
And I said to Tim, I was like, everyone is like, they're going for it. Hey. And he was like, yeah. Like, I don't know what's going on. Anyway. So we were like running along there's this major climb in it called Big Jack, which is like 55K through. Mm-hmm. And I kind of knew, I was like, okay, once I get to Big Jack, that's like most of the real, like, I just knew once I got to 55K, I was like, okay, you're in it. Like, yeah. Once you get, you know, you kind of just want to get over that.
Milestones.
Yeah. And so you can have a pacer up Big Jack because it's like a 6K climb, and it will probably take you about an hour. And so Tim jumped out of the car.
Sounds like Kadumba.
Yeah, it's pretty steep. Yeah. And you're obviously hiking it. But we were going up that, and it, like, Tim, there's photos of me where I've just got, like, this towel over me, and Tim's got, like, a spray bottle, and he just kept, like, shooting me, like, with water. And I was like, it's really hot. And he's like, yeah, it's, like, it is hot. Like, you're not just thinking it's hot. Mm. Okay. And my feet were already, like, blistering quite bad. And I was like, oh, this is real early for this to be happening. So got to the top of Big Jack, changed my shoes, like, fixed my feet up. That was all good. And then we went off to this next section, which I was kind of dreading because you hit the, like, main highway for probably, like, 3Ks or so, and it's just like trucks coming past you, and you've got to run into the traffic, so you're kind of just constantly, like, on and off the road. Thankfully it wasn't too bad, like, heaps of trucks were going past and just honking their horns at us, which was kind of fun, like, not in, like, an aggressive way, in, like, a
supportive,
you go girl, yeah. And so we were running
a little toot-toot,
you know, it was good. And you run into this town called Cathcart, which is pretty creepy. And Tim came out with a Calippo, and I was like, yes, this is so good. And there's photos of me with this Calippo, like, just, yeah. And that's probably, it's almost 70K in, and it was, like, sun, like, as high a point as it could have been, and it was cooking, like, so hot. And I kind of knew you were going to turn onto these farm roads, and it's going to be, like, wide open country, road. There's no trees. It's like just, and the sun's the highest it's going to be all day. Anyway, we're running through that, and I was like, oh, I feel pretty good. And then you get to this next section, all of a sudden I was like, oh, I do not feel so good. And that would have been at like 80K. And I was like, oh, I've got a long way to go. And I wasn't thinking about the race or anything. Like, it was the furthest thing from my mind. And I said to Tim, if I catch anyone, like, great. And if I don't, it just is the way it is.
Mm.
And so we got to, like, 80K, and I made, like, a pretty, like, I said to Tim, I'm going to slow right down. Like, I've got nothing to gain by pushing in the heat. I said, but as soon as the sun goes down, like, we'll go to work then. Like I said, I'm not doing anything until then. And he was like, no, good call. And it got to, like, 5 p.m., and I was like, fuck, it's hot. Like, what time is it? And he's like, it's 5 p.m., and I was like, when is this going to stop? Because, you know, you kind of think by then, like, and by that point I'm on the highway and, like, the bitumen is just, like, radiating heat. Mm. And I was kind of a bit, like, I was in a bit of a, like, this is going to be a long day. And I wasn't really thinking of much at that point other than the fact that Tim was by himself crewing me at that point.
Mm.
And I was like, I get a pacer at 8 o'clock and Tim's by himself and I don't really know how that's going to work because how, like, who's going to pace me? And I said to Tim, how are you going to sort this out? And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll sort it out. So I kind of spent the next few hours being like, how's he going to sort this out?
It's good when you got something to think about.
Yeah. And my buddy Riley was there with his wife, Terry, taking photos, like, not crewing me in any way, but just I'd never seen anything like that race. I was like, I really want to come down and shoot it. And I mean, he's used to shooting, like, professional marathon, like, you know, the elite end of the marathon and things. Yeah. And he's like, if I get one photo of you with both feet off the ground, I'll be stoked. There's one and it's like this much. I like zoomed in and was like, we did it. But, yeah, so I was like, maybe Riley will jump out with me. And I was like, oh, but he'd be pretty tired. And anyway, we got to like 8 o'clock and there was still no one. And Tim was like, I reckon there's a group of three guys up the road and I reckon you're probably going to catch him in the next little bit. And he was like, maybe you can jump on the back of them for now and just kind of, you know, get through the next section. And that's when the sun went down. Mm. And for some reason, like, something clicks with me at nighttime and it's just like, go. And so my best mate ended up coming down and she did a bit of a car shuffle with Tim and my other friend Joe. And so Tim jumped out with me and, like, we just started picking people off. Like, I'd been in this real, like, just get through it during the day. And then at nighttime I was like, just ready to kind of, like, not race, but ready to get through it.
Yeah, give it a nudge.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I had this, like, arbitrary goal in the back of my head. I was like, I want to get to Dalgetty. Like, this big thing is about getting to Dalgetty before the pub closes.
Yeah.
Which closes at 10, and I was like, I'm not going to get there in time. And the sketchy thing is this is purely Tim and I's assumption, but the locals leaving Dalgetty pub are, like, you know, three sheets of the wind, and they're driving this main road, like, coming at you, and it's quite scary.
You're running on it, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And it's dark. And...
Yeah, it's not that enjoyable. But, yeah, at nighttime, like, it's pretty interesting. Like, Tim, the people we were passing were people that I did not expect to be passing. So it's, like 24-hour Australian representatives, record holders, those kinds of things that I just was, like... that's kind of like, have people just cooked themselves in the heat or like, am I like going too early here? Because Dalgetty's 146K.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're saying it's only 146K in, you're kind of like, who runs this far? Like, and I said to Tim so many times, like, I could have just done 100 miles. Like, I've still got two marathons to do once I get to 100 miles. But I mean, my favorite thing the whole day was running with Tim at night because, like, we kind of just yarned and, like, I don't know, like, there's nothing – I'm really lucky in the sense that I just really enjoy running at night. Like, yeah, I like having a headlamp on and not looking at anything else and kind of just,
nice,
like –
It's nice, isn't it?
It's just, like, peaceful.
Yeah.
And, like, being out in the middle of the country, there's, like, there's heaps of stars and, like, you know, it's real cheesy, but it's really nice. And you kind of like, there's no way I would do, you'd do anything like this unless you were halfway through a race, you know? Mm. And I felt really, really good. Like, I was really, really happy the whole time. And we got to, like, the sun was kind, no, oh, no, it wasn't. See, this is how you get real bad memory. Hey, yeah. Where you're like, where was I?
It's real fuzzy.
Yeah. But we started ticking people off and Tim was like, you're moving really, really well. Like, you just got to keep doing what you're doing. And my goal in any race always is not to get past, like, male, female, nothing. I would always rather run through the back of the field than try and lead from the front and hold on, which I hate. Like, I'm just no good at it. I stress.
Yeah.
And so we – all day I'd said to Tim, like, I don't think there can be a record run today. Like, I think it's too hot.
Mm.
And then I said to Tim, I was like – how are the girls going? Like, I kind of want to know.
Yeah.
And because I knew that Amy had been through, like, 10 minutes behind Vlad with some of those early aid stations, and I was like, fuck, that's quick. I was like, I just don't know if I – like, I don't know if it's sustainable. And so I was really banking on the fact that they were going to blow up.
Mm.
And I was like, well, Yoasha, who won, is Scottish-Polish. Amy's Tasmanian and Lou's British. So I was like, I'm from the Gold Coast. Like, I have heat in my favor. Like, this is like, and Tim was like, we were kind of laughing about it. And then, like, the carnage kind of started to happen. Like, I started hearing, like, people were dropping out. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. And so we got to Jindabyne and Tim switched over with my mate Jess. And Jess is like amazing. Just like clockwork with stuff. Like, Tim made me carry my own stuff, not Jess. Jess was like, give me all your stuff. Like, you're not carrying it. And I was like, oh. This is nice, you know, because they can mule for you. Like, there's no rules against muling or anything like that. So, like, going up from Jindabyne up that road to Charlotte's Pass, like,
Alpine Way or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it's called. I was like, if I can run most of this, we'll be good. And we got to Jindabyne and everyone was like, lose half an hour up the road. And I was like, okay, but I can't give any more than I'm giving now. Yeah. Like, I'm at max capacity here. Mm. Like, if I get to her and she lets me pass, perfect. But I was like, there's going to be no, like, because at 6 foot in 2018, I saw her as you get to that, like, paved bit. Oh, and I was, like, swinging myself getting to her.
Yeah.
And I was just, like running as hard as I could. And I knew she was in fifth, so I was like, top five, I'd be stoked to get top five. Yeah. And I said to Tim, I was like, this is literally the opposite. It's going to be like, excuse me, could I come past? Okay, great, thanks. Like, there's going to be nothing in the tank.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of running and I passed Steve Redfern, who was down at the bottom of Thredbo River.
Yeah.
And Steve is like, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more positive person. Mm. Like, Steve pops out of his car and he's like, oh, Michaela. Oh, it's so nice to see you. Mm. He's like, good job. I'm just having my first toilet break of the day. And I was like, catch you later. Like, meanwhile, everyone else you pass is just miserable. Like, yeah. And so we were kind of going up, and then we saw, because obviously everyone is on that road at that point, like that's ahead of you, and there's people behind you, obviously. I had just visions of, like, you always do. You always have visions of people behind you just having this blinder and running past you, and you're like, it's very unrealistic, but
still
can't help but think about it. And then we saw Vlad driving back down the road, and I was like, oh, it's way too early. There's no way he's finished. Like, it was like 5 a.m., which would have meant he'd run like 23 and a half hours, which I was like, there's just no way.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, well, he's obviously pulled out. And then I was like, well, you kind of start like thinking about what's happening up the road, because the communication is so patchy, because you don't really know who's doing what, or and the reception's in and out, and so you never really know what's happening. And like the checkpoints is like a pretty much an honesty system. So like you get to the checkpoint and your crew messages this like WhatsApp group to say like, Michaela has been through this checkpoint at this time. So it's like,
yeah.
I mean, there used to just be a notebook that everyone used to just write in, which I think they should bring back, because I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, no timing chips.
Yeah, just like, and I mean, it's like G&W. Like, it's what I love about those kind of races.
Super great, yeah.
Where it's just like,
I love that.
The anti-UTA kind of vibe.
Mm.
But yeah, we were going up that road, and it was beautiful until it like really wasn't, and like the wind picked up, and it was just like gusting, like.
Yeah.
And I couldn't hold myself up as it was. So, like, and I was wanting to run, because I was like, the more I run, the quicker I get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, like, trying to run, and Jess was like, you can't run. Like, you are using so much energy trying to run. And I was like, well, fuck, we're going to be out here for so long. Like, and that's when I started to get really, like, and then the sun, like, normally when the sun comes up for people, they're, like, in a new headspace and it was not the case for me. The sun came up and I was like, oh, another day. And I was like, if it's as hot as it was yesterday, like, we're screwed. But then it wasn't hot, thankfully. But, you know, like, the sun just cooks you up there.
Yeah.
And so the wind was gusting really hard, and I was, like to the point where, like, we're struggling to stand up in it. Really? Like, it was – yeah, it was really bad. And I hadn't seen Tim for hours, and I was kind of like, I wonder what Tim's doing. And my friend Joey, who had done it before, started saying to me, they're probably going to stop you at Charlotte's Pass. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, it's going to be inclement weather. Like, there's no way they'll let you summit when it's like this. And I was like, oh, fuck, really? And so I had this in the back of my head from, like, Parrish at a Charlotte's, which is, like, Parrish is, like, 215 k's or something, and then Charlotte's like 222 or something.
Yeah.
And so I had that in my head, and Jess was with me, and we were kind of just like, am I really not going to finish? Like, this is kind of weird.
That would suck.
And then so we got to Charlotte's, and I said to Tim, I was like, am I getting pulled out? And he was like, what? No, what are you talking about? And I was like, I thought we were getting like an inclement weather finish or something. And Tim was like, no, you're fine, it's just windy. And I'm like, okay, cool. So that kind of like kind of had to like reframe where I was at, because I was like, cool, I'm just going to finish a Charlotte's Pass.
Yeah.
Which in hindsight, had I have done that, I would have been so disappointed.
Yeah.
But at the time,
220 k's in, you'll take it.
Yeah.
I was like, I finish, I get in a Cobra and I'm done and I don't have to run the up and back. Cool. But yeah, so.
Because that's where the finish line is, but you have to do like a 10 k out and back, don't you? To the.
Yeah, it was like, it's 18 k. Like the full out and back is 18 k.
Okay. Yeah, right. To the top of Cozzy. Yeah.
Yeah. So you summit and then you come back down and then you finish.
And it's really quite tough running through that finish line because you're like, I'm cooked.
Yeah.
Don't want to go. But anyway, everyone can come with you, like anyone you want. So long as everyone's got the mandatory gear, you can go to the top. So they let me go through while they were checking all the mandatory gear. And like the race director gives you, like your crew, a pretty stern warning. They're like, your goal isn't to get her to the summit. Your goal is to make sure she's safe. Like it's got nothing to do with her getting to the summit. Tim's like, we're getting to the summit.
Yeah.
But it was actually like a pretty cool experience. Like my buddy Riley, who, he's a like amazing photographer, but had never been to any of these areas. So he was kind of in like a completely different element, like had never seen anyone run for this long and was kind of like, holy shit, like, this is intense. Mm. And so like Tim, Joey, Jess are all pretty experienced in that space. So it was not that new for them, but I was trying to run that section just to no avail. Like, I just had nothing. Like,
yeah.
And I'd always, like, you know, when you're in, like, a tough session or a tough long run or something, you envisage, like, the finish and you're like, yeah. I'm going to be charging on this section. Yeah. And I was like, you could not be further from the truth. Like, I had, like, a puffer jacket on. I was just, like, looked like I was ready to go shopping. But just was, like, it was freezing. Like, I was really, really cold and that's kind of – was a pretty good sign that I was, like, pretty at cool. the end. Yeah. yeah. And we were, I mean, yeah. And so you kind of got this final bit and it was, it's really cool. Like, you see everyone coming back down.
Yeah.
So I kind of had an idea where I was. Like, I knew Morgan had finished because he drove back down and I saw him driving back down. Yeah. And I knew the guy who came second just finished, I think, as I got to Charlotte's.
Yeah.
And so you kind of figure out where you are in the field at that point, which is yeah. kind of cool. And so I saw Yoasha, who is, like, incredible runner. I am shocked at the time she ran that day. Like, knocking almost 2 hours off a course record
yeah.
Yeah. on that day is outrageous. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And she's Scottish. Like,
and she's Scottish. But she's – I mean, she's just like a Com Games representative in the marathon and, like, she's a proper class athlete. So – like, huge props to her. I ran with her for the front, like, 5K and was like, I'm not keeping up with you. Like, this is just going to be a death wish for me. And, like, that's a really, like, it's a pretty cool experience having, like, everyone that you've kind of spent the day with coming back towards you.
Yeah.
And so, like, Amy came back down and I was like, okay, well, she's in second. And then Lou came back down. I'm, like, quite good friends with Lou, so we kind of, like, had a bit of a moment. But she was trying to break 30 hours, which I didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, woo, like, went to stop her. And she was kind of, like, a bit, like, anxious about it. Yeah. And I was like, see ya. Like,
yeah.
And then I was like, oh, she's trying to go into 30 hours. And I hope it wasn't me that stopped her for 30 hours. But, and you kind of, like, yeah, you kind of get an idea where you are. And so you stop and, talk, like, sort of chat to people. And it was just blowing a gale. Like,
yeah.
And there were so many people up there, like, so many people. And, you know, you get that last little kind of bend up to the summit and it's pretty anticlimactic, like yeah. Mount Kosciuszko. Yeah. It's like,
then you get to the summit. Anyway.
Yeah. And so we get to the summit. Oh, I'm cooked. Like, I can't even stand up straight. So, like, Tim's got me by one arm. My mate Riley's got me by the other arm. And I was like, I just need to get a photo and we need to go back down. Like, yeah. I need to get off this peak. I'm freezing. And there's this line of people trying to get a picture at the summit. And Tim's like, just go. I'll explain to them. Don't worry.
Yeah, like, just like tourists and stuff.
Yeah. So I'm like standing up there like I would look like a corpse trying to get a photo taken. And he's like, oh, she's run like 230Ks to get there. And you could not have seen like more unimpressed people. They were like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but cool. We've been lining for 5 minutes.
Yeah. And there's this couple who were really cute, but at the time I was just like my eyes were just like burning through them. They're like trying to get a selfie in front of the obelisk and they just kept taking it and taking it and taking it. I was like, do you want me to take it? Because like I need to get off this thing. Anyway, we turn around and we come back and I get like most of the way down and see Gerard Riordan, who Gerard and I have like a bit of a back and forth because I passed him at GNW at like Summersby and then I was like, see, I'm not seeing that guy again. And then he passed me like on that like final like 5k from Mooney Mooney and like I saw him because I passed him at Balaka, which is this pretty steep climb about 100 miles in, and I was like, I won't see him again. And then when we came off the summit I was like, yeah, it's like, you're not catching me again. There's no way.
So did you redline the last 9K?
I ran, like, as best as I could. Yeah. And so he was there and then there was this guy just behind him. Mm. And I was like, okay, there's enough people that are kind of close that I need to kind of keep on it. Like, I've never been so, like, just, like, out of body. Like, I kind of just couldn't register what I was doing. I saw Stephen coming back up and so like I stopped and like you have like quite like emotional moment with people and it's easily the best part of that race.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I'm kind of competitive, but not with stuff like that. Mm. Like that's more of like a journey. So I'm happy to stop and like hug people and
what's 30 seconds.
Like, and so that was a really cool experience and people you've spent the day with and stuff like that. And then, yeah, like that final 9K was the hardest part by far.
Really?
And I had these – I'd had a friend who did it years ago and he'd had like a pretty rough trot and then he got to that point and was running like 4:30s down from the summit. And I was like, that's going to be me. Like I'm going to blow people away. Yeah. Like I'm going to run. Mm-hmm. And I was like running a couple of steps and was like, I just need a minute. Like trying to figure myself out and was like – I just don't know if I can do this. And then, yeah, so I had a few questionable moments at that point. Yeah. And when we got off the summit, I said to Tim and Jess, I was like, I need a gel. Like, I feel like I'm about to go lights out here. And I was like, do you have anything? And Tim's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just saw him kind of lean back and look at Jess and be like, I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. And she was like, neither do I. And I was kind of like, oh, no. And I was like, I can hear you. Like,
right here.
And so my buddy Riley, thankfully, had like a full packet of those Cliff Shop Block things. Oh, yeah. And I was like, I'm eating all of these. And I just like ate the whole packet. And he was like, oh, okay. So he ran ahead and I ran it in with like Jess and Tim and Joey. But that last 9K, like, yeah, I've never had to work as hard just to keep going forward as I did in that last 9K, just purely because I just had nothing. Like,
yeah.
And when I got to, like, even when you finish, you kind of get to, like, the car, like, where the, there's, like, a turning circle thing, and you've kind of got to run up this, like, little thing to get to the finish line. And I got to, like, they hold the tape up for everyone, which is nice. And so I, like, couldn't like get through the tape. Like I was just like, I can't even go like another step beyond this. Yeah. And like the race director, who just such a nice guy, he kind of like grabbed me and I was like uncontrollably sobbing. Like just like couldn't get words out sobbing. Not like it was like exhaustion, relief, like everything, but easily like the worst place I got to was that last 9K. Wow. And I just had these visions of like finishing that race. Like I was like, I'll catch people on that last 9K. Yeah. No way. Like I was lucky I didn't get caught on that last 9K because I just, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see someone run it properly because it wasn't me. Like it was such rubbish for me. But I think I'd just given everything I had up until that point and I just – if I went back again, like, I'd like to try and run that better. But you always have that idea, you know? Like,
how long did it take you?
31 and a bit, which is funny, right? So when I signed up for it, I was like, I should be somewhere between, like, 29:59 and like 32 hours. Like I would like to be somewhere between there.
Yeah.
And I always thought that I could run on a good day. I could run under 30 hours.
Yeah.
And I always knew the course record was 30 hours and a minute or something. And I remember I said to a friend of mine, I was like, that course record will go and it'll go by a few hours. Like the quality of the women in that field was red hot. So yeah, like Yoasha, who won, ran 28:10, which is hooking.
Wow.
Like for a woman to never have gone under 30 hours and for two of them to go like hours under 30 hours.
Hot field.
Huge. Well, three of them went under the course record.
Wow. Yeah, crazy.
And I was fourth and there were four women in the top seven, which kind of gives you a good idea of like how women just like really persevered in like
the long stuff.
Yeah. And there were good guys in that field. Like really good, strong runners in that field.
It's like Courtney DeWalter has kind of shown that like chicks are just as good as the dudes over the long stuff.
Yeah, the longer it gets, the better. Like the more it's just
it's mental.
It's mental. It's just.
And like Lou fell over pretty early, and she was like busted up, like knees, tape everywhere. Yeah. Tim's like, "Oh, she's real taped up. Like, you know, I don't know if she's moving that well." And I was like, "That woman would need to be." Like, she'd be run over and she'd still be charging ahead. Like, I have no doubt in my mind. I was like, that doesn't mean anything. She could be missing an arm and still be like, I'm good. So, yeah, just the strength in that race. Like, and Amy and Yoasha, like, fully, like, going for it was pretty sick. Like, I haven't seen. Yeah.
In a race like that, that's hectic.
I just don't know how you race for that long. Like, I wouldn't have been able to, like,
race.
No, like I didn't have a race in me. And that's why I said to Tim, like on multiple occasions, I was like, this isn't a race. This is just a getting from point A to point B. But like, honestly, the best experience I think anyone could ever have, if you like that stuff, like unreal experience to run through like that kind of terrain, which you would never ordinarily get to do. It's pretty amazing. But yeah, you go from like, you know, this like country kind of thing to alpine and it changes so drastically. And like the guys who are finishing, you know, 10 hours later are copying like rain. Like it got really gnarly. It
got bad, didn't it?
Like apparently the rain was hitting the ground so hard that it was bouncing back up in their face. And it's just like, that's hardcore.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Imagine being out there, but hours longer than you were with the crazy weather.
Another 10 hours on top of, like.
It's amazing. Like, honestly. And, like, I was in bed and I could hear the weather. And I just thought, oh, my God. And Tim had a client who was the last finisher.
Mm.
Just amazing. Like one of the biggest, like, signs of resilience I've ever seen. Like,
what's the cutoff for that?
Like 42, 43, okay. I think.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know. Like, there's no way I could have been out there for another 10 hours. Like, just no way.
Yeah.
Mm. And he, yeah, pretty amazing. But the ambulances was like, gave him a procession, like, into Charlotte's Pass with their sirens going off, like, as he came up.
That's cool.
And all his crew was saying, like, no one remembers who came second last. Like, you want to come last? Yeah. But, yeah, pretty amazing.
Hectic. It's on your bucket list, isn't it?
Yeah. I was considering having a crack at it this year. When they announced, like, oh, we are doing it this year, and you need a 100-kilometre race and a 100-mile race as your qualifiers. I had the 100-mile race done. I was like, so all I need to do is to run a 100K and I have a qualifier. I just wasn't, like, physically or mentally kind of ready for it. But, like, where I am now, I'm like, yeah, I want to
next
do that.
Year.
Like, yeah.
Right, race is back, so.
Yeah, it's the big thing in Australia that I want to do.
Okay,
there's a couple of bucket list things, and that's on it, for sure.
Yeah, it's, sure. like, the best part of that is the next day, is the presentation.
Yeah.
It's, like, the whole, I mean, you're emotional for weeks after that stuff, right? But, like, oh, my God, every story I was like. And then when he called my name, he was like, I think she cried for, like, a solid 8 minutes at the finish line. And I was like, this can only be about one person. And it's about me. But, I mean, I emailed him, like, the next day saying, like, thanks heaps for the experience. Like, that was amazing. And he called me to, like, chat about it. And, like, it's, like, a real.
Just 50 runners, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think. 49 got to the start line, and I think only 35 finished, which is, like, the lowest finishing rate they've ever had.
Really? Lowest finishing rate, but also new record for the Jigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I think that's pretty untouchable, that record, to be honest. There's, like, no way I'd be going
28
after.
28 hours.
Yeah, I thought, like, honestly, that is beyond the realm of what I thought was possible at that race. But it just takes someone of that caliber to come and do it, you know?
Breaking 28.
Doesn't really have the same ring to it, hey?
Michaela's next film.
It's so shit. Just be me with stress fractures. Like.
A lot of crying.
Yeah, a lot of crying. Yeah.
So 90% of this movie is crying. Hour and a half.
I'm quite a crybaby, to be honest.
That's so good. It's like a unique kind of emotion, right? Like, you get those feelings that you've had that what came up as tears for you is, like, really unique emotion that you don't really get any other way.
No, it's so true.
Like, some people get it finishing a half marathon for the first time, but, like, multiply that by, like, 50, and that's kind of what you have.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I kind of wrote myself off, like, last year. I was like, oh, you know, you just, like, you're not going to be able to do this stuff again. And coming home, I was sitting in the car and we were driving and Tim was like, let's see how far 246 Ks is in the car. Like, how much further past, like, Canberra? I think we got beyond Canberra.
Yeah.
And I was like, got to this point where I was like, you know what? Like, I've, like, completely, not that you need a race to get your confidence back, but, like, it was more than just a race for me. It was like, it kind of reaffirmed that I do love doing that stuff and that I am capable of doing it and that
your body can let you do it.
Yeah. And, like, for months I'd been like, well, like, 18 months I was like, you just can't do it anymore. Like, it just is what it is. And, like, my body was amazing. And even afterwards, like, I've been so lucky. Like, there's nothing, knock on wood, nothing wrong with me except for being super fatigued and hungry.
Yeah.
Well, I get that now. I run, like, 30 Ks a week.
Yeah. It's all relative.
So what's next, Mick?
6 foot.
Okay.
Cool. That's going to be rough.
Yeah. That's a sprint, right? It's just 45 Ks of trails.
Yeah, but it's like hell on earth, right? Like, it's so hard. I think that's easily, like, one of the hardest races you can do.
It's my favorite race.
It's good fun.
A good race. I hope the sort of feel is still there this year with all the restrictions and people being bussed out straight away and that stuff.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, hey?
Because that's the thing. Like, you go there for the finish line.
Yeah.
And you hang out and you have beers and it's
a party. I was having no beers, hey? I was like in a coma.
But don't you, like, always pass out after every
race? Yeah, I do. I passed out after Coast Cozzy.
Yeah.
And Jess, my best mate, was like, because I was like, oh, Tim, I'm going to go. Like, it's just a thing. And Jess was like, oh, classic Michaela. Like, went over and, like, grabbed me and one of her good mates, Amanda, was there, and she's like a trained, she's got like a medical background, and she's like, okay, what we're going to do is you're going to put your head between your knees. And she like fully talked me out of it. And I was like, oh, that's all we need to do. Like, I don't need to pass out every time. Yeah, so 6 foot next. I'd like to try and run a marathon this year, but I don't know. I have like bad feelings towards the marathon now, to be honest. I need to get past that. And I kind of want to go back to Coast Cozzy.
Yeah, right.
I said it so many times in the race, don't ever let me do this again. Like, don't. And like,
2 weeks later.
The day after, I was like, well, I can't not be here now.
Yeah.
And there was a guy there who'd finished his 12th.
Holy shit.
Had the same crew every single year.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you remember the guy that compound fractured his leg at UTA a few years ago?
What? No.
They had to chopper him out.
Oh, my God.
That same year, he ran Coast to Cozzy. Yeah. Heck, that's what I mean. Like, this field is nuts. Like, these people are amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So when you're in that room and he got – they, like, retire a number.
Mm.
So they retired a number for him.
Yeah.
And they normally only do it up to 10, but he – so he never thought he was going to get one.
Yeah.
And so he got number 11. Oh, my God. The waterworks from me. Because he started crying and I was like, no. But that was amazing. Yeah, so, like, that kind of stuff. Like, you don't get that at, like, the big stuff, you know? Yeah. And it's not like we're going to be traveling anywhere anytime soon. So
so might as well travel by foot.
Yeah.
It's too cozy.
It's a good running race.
So I'll race you next year.
Yeah. That'd be good fun.
Mate, can I crew just to watch that?
You've tickled me.
Go down.
It's great fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the most fun you can have running 246K.
Do you know anyone who could coach me? Anyone who's got that kind of experience?
No.
Okay, cool.
No, I've never met anyone. I've got a guy now, actually, who I'm coaching for this year, hopefully. He did it last year, didn't finish, but has only been running for, like, 2 years and is already, like, doing hectic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, blisters.
Oh, is that what – he said his feet just gave up.
Yeah. You've been coaching him.
We just started.
Yeah, okay.
So if I ever asked you to do this for me, say no and slap me in the face.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's what I pretty much said, and I was like, no, I'm going back.
Yeah.
And I got Tim wanting to do it, which I never – Tim was like, nah, never going to do that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then after being there, he's like, so what do I have to do to qualify? But, yeah, it's just one of those things. Have you crewed it?
No, I've never been.
Yeah, okay. It's one of those things once you get there, you've already obviously got the bug to do it, but once you get there, it's like something quite amazing about it. And the crews are all like best buddies by the end of it. They're all super helpful, and like every time they go past you, they like, you know, yell at you and ask if you want something. Like there's no, I don't know. It's just pretty rare.
Everybody crews everybody.
Yeah. And because Tim, family. Yeah, and because Tim was by himself, everyone felt sorry for him at the start. And so all these people are like, can we help you? Can we do something for you? And Tim was like, I don't even need anyone else. Like, everyone's just so helpful. Mm. So, yeah, it's a cool experience. But, just got to be prepared to hurt, because I don't think I've hurt that bad. Yeah. Just mentally, like getting to 100 miles. Like, you know, getting to 100 miles is tough.
Yeah.
Then mentally going, I've got to run another 2 marathons after this. Like, that's pretty tough. But in terms of time, it's not that much more.
No, because you did, 42 hours at UTMB?
UTMB was 43.
43
Holy
hours.
Holy shit, so yeah. You'll be sweet.
You were in a pain game for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, you've done 2 sunrises.
Yeah, it was over 2 nights.
Yeah.
Day 3 sucked.
Oh. Yeah. I said to Tim, that's my limit. I'm not going through 2 nights.
Yeah.
That's hectic.
Yeah. But that starts at night.
Oh, true.
UTMB.
It starts, in the afternoon.
Yeah. So UTMB does not appeal to me at all.
Oh,
but weird. This is why Coast Cozzy is so good, because
the antithesis of each other. Like, UTMB is the biggest one in the world. Like, all the pros there, the Europeans, this big hoo-ha, it's this huge thing, whereas Coast Cozzy is like, write your checkpoint time in a booklet.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't lie, because that's naughty.
It's true. And there's like texts in the group chat that were like, team whoever, you've got to update your runner. Like, you've got to tell us where they are. And they'll be like, we've been trying, but there's no reception. But yeah, it's pretty. And I mean, the race directors, I think, are great. Like, they had big shoes to fill, but they like unreal people. Mm-hmm. So you'll, I mean, if I don't get in, definitely be back there in some capacity.
Sweet.
You got to get that hat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
I think this has been our longest podcast.
Oh, sorry.
Close.
Has it been our longest one ever?
Nah.
You can cut me out.
Remember Tim? Talking about feet and shoes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was like an hour and a half.
Don't get me started on feet and shoes.
Well, we can.
No. Let's not talk about feet and shoes.
So it's been, what, a month now since you...
Almost a month today, yeah.
How are we feeling?
Just knackered.
Still doing.
Yeah. There's days where I'm like, oh, I think I'm back. And then, like, the next day, you're just like, no, nah, still trash.
Yeah.
But fully expect that's going to be the case probably another month or two. And I think I'll probably come good just in time to...
6 foot.
Yeah, which is not do a, smart.
Do a couple of 15K training runs.
Yeah, and do as I say, not as I do. But, yeah, I mean, 6 foot, who knows if it'll even happen.
Yeah.
Are you, hopefully. Are you doing it?
I'm doing it.
I don't have an entry.
Oh.
But I'm going to try and hopefully, fingers crossed, okay. Do it. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, okay. But, like, positive thoughts. It'll happen.
Yeah. Well,
it's a smallish race. Currently, they're still allowing sporting events up to 3,000 people.
Yeah, true. So, is the cricket going to happen?
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
You're right.
We'll be good. We'll
do it.
Anyway.
Thanks for coming, mate.
Sweet. That's right. That was good.
For having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate you sharing
that. That's all right.
If anybody wants to jump on and comment and say, yes, I'm going to do this, it's a fucking awesome race, I go, fuck no, never.
Wait till you see the hat, though.
Send us a photo.
It's red hot.
Yeah.
That's the best. You get this, like, big, proper Australian Akubra, and it gets a you get a pin in it that says Coast to Gozzy. So then you've got to get all the pins.
All the non-Australians out there, it's basically just a big hat.
Hmm.
Don't know. It seems quite disrespectful. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Well, Mike's Dutch.
It's matter. Very un-Australian, but yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
People are just picturing a sombrero or something.
It's like an Aussie sombrero.
It is. Yeah. It is exactly like an Aussie sombrero, just without...
Keeps your hair dry.
Yeah.
On that note.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Mick.